Hey, what's going on? Thanks for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal. This week, I just wanted to hop in here at the top with a couple announcements, namely that, you know, we're in the holiday season, so we are going to take off that week after Christmas. There will be no episode that week, but once we get into the new year, we'll have some more episodes. Also wanted to intro, we've got a new theme song. I figured I've been looking for different music for this show. I do enjoy the music as it was, but seemed like if we were going to change, now would be a good time to introduce some new music because we're moving into a whole new arc. So, without further ado, here's Cocytus by Pawns or Kings.
Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
You are listening to Chaos Springs Eternal, a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes and disturbing imagery, as well as horrors beyond comprehension. Now, if you don't mind those things, I think you'll have a fun time listening. Join us, won't you? Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal, Season 1, City of Woe.
Whoa!
What a woe indeed, because last episode, y'all finished off Marguerite. She is long gone. Well, she's not really gone, though.
What?
But,
well, what do you mean?
Oh,
you
know, nice. Dan, you can't just say that. Dan.
No, I can't. You know, the combat for Marguerite was, you know, three or four sort of rounds of going around and the implementation of some of your, you know, occult preparations. And there were obviously multiple mechanics going on in terms of how real she was. But you wound up using the Oregon Pyramid to trap her. So in that way, she's not really gone. She's still with you in some form.
Yeah.
But as to what that means or what I still don't totally know what that means for the future. so that's something we will get to explore. I thought the funniest part definitely of the combat was Marcy when Noah had Marcy prep and aim and spend a turn aiming to get that little, you know, accuracy boost. And then Marcy failed the save, and so she was frozen for the next round and not able to take care of it. But Cyril got off the killing blow, and Marcy and her influence on the house was destroyed. After that, y'all did some...
Yep, I'm destroyed in totality.
Marguerite
was destroyed.
Goodbye, guys. It's been fun. Player you have on for my slot is better.
I just keep
has better
to
dice
get
rolls.
Those characters.
Yeah.
Actually, we're not replacing you at all. It's just Dan's gonna have a DMP. So gonna
but after trapping Marguerite and removing her influence, successfully exorcising her from the house, y'all heard some knocking and continued up the stairs into the minaret, where you found the chest. And upon contacting the chest, you were transported into some other place, an infinite darkness that was only lit by some candles surrounding the chest. Y'all found like this thing that Marcy successfully identified as like a map of this place, like an occult looking map of this strange place that you were in. And after opening the chest, you found both Clementine and also guns. So reuniting all around, you know, really just the most important things in everyone's life. But Clementine was able to share a little bit of what had happened to her. And then after a successful occult roll from Joel, you turned over the chest and you found the seal that Colette had made on her chest so long ago. Like her, not her like chest, but her trunk. The wooden chest.
Okay, never mind. I had a joke there.
The amulet, you used the amulet on the seal. The light got bright, blinding you all, and Colette gave you a little parting message saying thank you for taking care of Marguerite. Sorry about all this. When Sawyer conjured up this entity, Colette had trapped it in the Florizon Manor, and so she had been stuck, and she turned back the tormenting spirit back on the Babineaux. She was fading, and when she did that, a part of her had also gotten stuck in the manor. But recently she had been able to sort of extend her influence thanks to the presence of members of her coven. As life fades, you find yourself back in the minaret. The map is no longer there. And y'all hear Glomus calling out as he bounds up the stairs. He said something like, Phantom Finders, I'm afraid I have some incredibly bad news. Obviously, a little less enthusiastic than that, but I don't know how to do a sad sort of Southern Cajun accent. So.
Because they don't get sad.
Yeah, they don't get sad.
It just gets longer and more drawn out.
Yeah.
But, we are, again, just experimenting with going bantsless just up top. I think towards the end of this arc especially, there's just a lot of ground I want to cover, hopefully. So... giving you all the opportunity to say we're going to start with the Phantom Finders at the top of the minaret, Joel, Cyril, Marcy, and Clementine. The reunion having been, you know, made, and y'all hear this voice sounding from below you. What do you want to do?
Marcy is going to try to take a mental snapshot of that map that we encountered and just try to encode it to her memory and then call out for everyone, we are fucked if Glomus is about to kill us.
Good thing he's not going to do that. Isn't that right, buddy? And he's going to start heading down the stairs.
She was whispering.
Well, Joel was not.
Okay.
Well, we got it. We can't go anywhere else, so the only way out is down.
All right.
Are you disguised at all, Glomus?
Yes, I've taken on Antoine's guise.
Perfect.
You should be able to tell by the voice.
You put clothes on this time, though, right?
Yes, I have clothes on.
Okay.
Perfect. Didn't want Clem to get too freaked out.
Okay. Sure.
You forgot she was here, didn't you?
Is she listening right now?
Hey, Clem, you heard all this, right?
And she's like, yeah, I can hear you guys talk. Who is that? Did you say Antoine or Glomus?
Weird question. Is she somehow immune to the editing? The Geas?
The Geish. So, here's the thing. The Geish only counts if you are not there with Glomus. That is the thing, because it's... You know, I didn't give you, like, super specific wording, okay. But if he's there, he can't, like, not be there, right? So.
Yeah.
This is not just three of us talking to a mannequin at a Macy's or anything like that?
Well, we probably couldn't talk about him being a ghoul, right? Because I think that was the stipulation.
Yeah, that's true. But how did you phrase it exactly? Like, are you in a form?
I said you're not in your normal form or something along those lines is what I said.
Yeah, so that might have gotten like a little garbled, but that's vague enough that I think it would not hit any metaphysical barriers.
He's just hitting yoga poses on the way up the stairs.
Maybe I think the clothes comment, Clementine's like, is he a nudist? What is going
on? Yeah, he's usually naked. He likes to swing his tallywhacker around.
Oh, sorry, did you say it was Antoine? Like the mayor's brother?
He is fond of dressing up.
He's like an Antoine impersonator.
Okay.
Mark,
that's really what you want to go with? I'm gonna give you a chance.
Fucking
Clementine.
He's an Antoine impersonator.
Okay, all right. Walking into a field of shit.
Okay, as you all make your way down the stairs of the minaret into the office area and on this second floor, I assume you bypass the attic. I don't, unless you want to stay there. But Glomus,
I grab the documents. I grab the Babineau documents.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. He is standing sort of at the railing at the top of the stairs and waiting for y'all to come down. Going to go ahead and just move y'all all there, assuming that you're okay with that. If you don't want to be there, just let me know. But as she comes around the corner, Clementine is like, oh, Antoine. Okay, I was... I'm confused. Were you also hiring them to look into the manor? I thought it was just your brother, but okay. And he says, oh yes, that's exactly right. Whatever you were thinking, that's exactly what the truth is.
That's and not suspicious smiles. At all.
Don't he be smiles and Clementine's like, I think I might be suffering. Are there after effects of, being possessed by a ghost?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. That explains why everything seems so weird right now. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's very common after being possessed by a ghost. It's post-possession depression.
Damn, don't make that joke!
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm just gonna sit down here against the wall and breathe a little bit. Did anyone have... Joel, can I have some of that water?
Don't give her the water. No.
Don't do it.
It's holy water.
Okay. Oh, just give her the water. Come on now.
What? We might need it.
He spills it. Oops. I'm sorry. Oh, I'll get you something for sure.
Oh, man.
Listen, Clem, I'll explain it later. We really can't drink this water.
Okay.
Why not?
All right.
It's just holy water.
I'll explain it later.
Okay. I'm just gonna sit here. And Antoine says, fair to find us. If you don't mind, maybe we could talk things out a little more privately while Clementine has some time to rest and recover from what was no doubt a very traumatizing episode of, again, ghost possession, you said? Anyways, Phantom Finders, we have things that we need to discuss very, very immediately, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, let's go to another room or outside the building, maybe.
Just somewhere reasonably far enough away that, you know, we won't disturb Clementine as she is recuperating. Mm-hmm. Which, for me, I would think would be like you could just go down to the first floor and maybe like the library area.
Yeah.
Or if you really wanted to, you could go all the way down to the basement, but yeah, I don't know. Thanks. All right. Well, I'm going to move y'all down to the library then. Clementine, no.
Scene transition. Whoa.
Work your way down the creaky stairs as you step out. In the library, Glomus turns to you and says, you know, I know that you brought down the seal. I felt it very strongly. Which was strange, because when the seal was broken, I wasn't in the house. Obviously, the seal prevents me from being in the house, so I was curious why it was that that I could feel that.
Was it a distance thing, or was it just like you think every other magically inclined being in Care 4 felt that as well?
You remember that incredibly bad news I mentioned?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You I mentioned that I had put up a ward against the you know, over all of Care 4, correct?
No.
Well, you know how I'd mentioned that the house might have some sort of amplifying effect to magic or other occult things that happen within it. Well, I suspect what happened was when you broke the seal protecting the house, it amplified that effect and, in fact, broke the ward I had on Care 4. A bit of a, I suppose being hoisted by my own petard is maybe a bit on the nose, but still appropriate. Now, I had intended, I was being very forthright with my intentions. I was going to come in the house and use its focus to help reinforce the ward around Care 4, but that reinforcing a ward is relatively simple. You know, it might take me a day or two for prepping and preparing all the magic rituals, but to rebuild the ward from scratch, now that is going to take, the first time I did it, it took me several weeks. I don't know how long it will take me to rebuild this ward, but I would rather do it sooner than later. And he looks kind of at all of you, just sort of like, just with that sort of look, like a guy who just revealed like his biggest secret and is waiting for everyone to like say, oh, that's okay. Even though he knows that it's really not okay.
Marcy's expression just looks like her face is melting from stress.
Okay, hang on. I want to clarify. We lost our Iron Dome.
Yes, that is the case. We are now. Care 4 still has some intensely, you know, metaphysical power, intense metaphysical properties due to the location along the ley lines. But we do not have protection from outside forces as I would have hoped. Now that doesn't mean that we're immediately all going to be slaughtered by some, you know, occult army of undead or anything like that. It just means that I will have no way of preventing those sorts of things.
What do you need us to do?
Well, ideally you would keep people from coming in the house for the next couple weeks. While I attempt to rebuild and run the ritual that I need to to rebuild the ward from scratch.
Oh.
All right.
Do you want us to play bouncer?
That would be great. Just really not allowing for any attention to be drawn to the house. Just making it, we don't want Thaddeus to come by. We don't want Clementine to come by, any of the police officers to come by and interrupt anything. Obviously, you know, I could deal with maybe an intrusion or two. I can adjust some memories, although that is not my most favorite way of managing these sorts of things, but the less of that I have to do, the better.
That's gonna be hard. You realize we don't own the building, right?
Yes, but you were here under the mayor's orders, correct?
Yeah, whose family owns the home?
Yeah, so maybe you could work with something with him. Just find a way to, prevent other people from coming here.
I don't.
The problem is we've recently found out that the Babineaux are terrible people, and we're under some sort of deadline, aren't we? To figure this out, because they need it, because corporations are trying to take the land.
Yeah,
so we're under a time crunch there as well. So, I mean, we can try, but what do you think's going to appear here other than, you know, one of the Babineaux showing up to put a flower on a grave or something?
Well, something like that's no issue at all. But, and I'll be honest, you know, there's no reason to think that anyone will come by, but if someone does come by, you know, and sees me, either as a ghoul or as Antoine, that will raise some questions. And I would rather not have to deal with any of those.
This is a pickle. Why are you so attached to the Antoine shape. I'm going to be honest. This is just going to cause more headaches than you ditching it. I mean, it's going to be real hard to try and keep Clementine from mentioning Antoine.
Yes. Again, I may be able to assist with that in terms of, you know, adjusting some memories. I'd rather not, but we could ascribe some hallucinations, dehydration, that sort of thing. So that, you know, there are ways of ameliorating that aspect of things, but I'm not attached to Antoine's body per se. It's just the handy guys to wear currently. Again, for me to take on a body, I have to be unfortunately involved with some aspects of it after death, and as I've expressed previously, I try not to indulge my ghoulish vice, and so Antoine's one of few bodies I have access to. I do have some memories of other bodies I could take the form of, if that would make things easier for you.
Well, if you're just going to wipe Clem's mind, I don't think it matters what shape you're in, then.
I am all for doing this.
Yeah.
I think we need to. I think that Glomus has been honest with us. I don't understand, really. I mean, maybe it's something beyond my limited understanding, but I don't understand how breaking the seal here unraveled the seals everywhere. But maybe that's something that's just beyond me. But I think that we need to stand our ground here for him, at least, and try to give him what he needs.
So imagine the house as like a what am I thinking of? Imagine the house as an
amplifier.
Yeah, well, I was going to say megaphone. You know, you can yell at some certain volume, but then if you yell into a megaphone, it amplifies your yell, and that volume, that sound can travel further, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't understand how the wards were all interconnected.
It wasn't so much that they were interconnected as the unsealing effect from that amulet that I gave to y'all was not keyed into any particular spell or effect.
Its function was to break, and it broke too good.
Yes, circle gets the square, Marcy.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can stay here for most days. I got some photo shoots and things coming up, but other than that, I can be out here. But we're going to have to run some real interference with the Babinos, because they're going to be breathing down our neck. The other thing is that, I don't know. I have my own reasons for being out here, but I want to take some photos of the land and see what I can see out here. But, I mean, I'm willing to stay if nobody else wants to.
I can bring my laptop and do some work out here if I need to.
I think that if we have something we can show to Thaddeus, we can at least keep him off our back for a couple more days if it looks like we're making some sort of progress to our next episode.
Well, that's just it. Maybe we have to release an episode here. I think that might be a good call. We got, we have footage. Some of it's destroyed, but I mean, we've had cameras set up a while, so we should probably drop an episode just to keep them happy.
If we need to, we can do a part one of two or three if we need to keep Antoine off our back and just say that we found more than we thought and dig in more and just throw some bullshit out of the wall and see what sticks, because let's be honest, he's not expecting any actual material. He just needs something to show these investors or whatever that, no, there's something here of historical significance. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glomus, can you give us any of that footage back? Nothing crazy, but just some of the simple shit that we can edit together. I'm not asking for videos or pictures of her, but
What do you mean by give you the footage back? I didn't take any footage.
You wiped the camera, did you not?
He looks at you. No, that I don't have the ability to wipe any cameras.
I was about to lose my mind. If Glomus can perform, like, data recovery, like, that's insane.
So, did... Who wiped the cameras?
I assume Marguerite?
That was my general assumption as well. And Marguerite took care of that shit.
Columbus, have you ever looked into data recovery?
No, that's not been my expertise.
Because it all happened right before we met you. And it was right as we were leaving and you kind of took Marcy and Cyril's guns. So, I don't know, I guess we just jumped our gun, proverbially, and
I didn't take any guns. I don't have any weapons.
Wait, then where are our guns?
They're up in the chest.
Oh, I took my gun.
Yeah.
Oh, right. My bad.
Okay.
Yes, it sounds like it, but you had been able to get some footage before, correct? And you successfully got it out of the house.
That is correct. I mean, we watched a video of a little girl looking down through a hole, so...
Fair. I was just hoping for, I guess, a little bit more to show off, but I guess that is a good cliffhanger for part one of two, so...
Right.
Yeah, that's...
I think Plus, we get play. To tell Mossy's story about falling through the floor.
And the upcoming court case that's coming with it, right?
Yeah. For sure.
Well, I'm just a simple country lawyer, but I think you got quite the case.
A Texas hammer.
The Louisiana gavel.
Okay, well, if you will allow me to go assist Clementine, I can remove this part of the Antoine part of this memory. Should be relatively simple. And then y'all can be on your way. And I will begin the preparations. And
Do you need anything from us other than protection, I guess?
No,
where are you going to do this ritual? Where is it going to take place? Are you going to be in the house? Are you going to be in the basement?
It'll take place in the house. Probably the basement, yes. That's the place that, you know, it's easiest to transport in the supplies. If you'd like to come help me move some supplies from the lab to the basement, I would appreciate that, but I can do that myself. You know I don't need sleep, and I never tire, and I don't hunger, and don't thirst.
I'll help you move stuff.
Oh, I would appreciate it, but for now, y'all have done so much, and I think just the, you know, exercising the ghost. Can I tell you, you know, I've been a ghoul for a long time, as long as I can remember. I have vague memories of my human life, but even then, I don't know that I ever ran into any ghosts, and I've only heard fleeting references to ghosts. I've never met one myself, so exercising the ghost, that puts you in a rare category of person.
I feel so blessed.
I know that's sarcasm, but you are literally holding holy water.
Yeah.
No, I dumped it upstairs.
Oh, well, I thought that was a joke that you were doing for a gag.
No, I was... I do actually mean it in this instance. There's a tinge of sarcasm in there, but I've completed one of my life's missions.
Oh, interesting. Oh, by the way, Joel, I'll make sure to look into Pastor Guidry, but it'll have to take place after I put up the ward again. I hope that's understandable.
Yeah.
What about Pastor Guidry?
Marcy's eyes just go wide. Oh, fuck.
Thanks, Glomus, old pal. And he pats him on the shoulder way too hard.
You're welcome. I just remembered that. I'm sorry I got distracted, but I just want to make you know that that's still on my mind.
Ixnay on the Guidry, eh?
You all going to explain that to me, correct? Is there something wrong with Pastor Guidry?
Maybe.
Antoine Glomus looks at you and is like, oh, just he was wondering if I could get his Miss Gidry's famous peach cobbler recipe.
I love that Glumas sucks at lying. I love that's my favorite character trait. Has like a ghoul with very limited social skills who just lurks around the town and creeps on people and yoinks little things. Just the worst liar and the funniest timing on it.
Well, you can get her peach recipe. That's on the church website. It's one of the main pages.
Oh. Well, why didn't you tell me that before? Joel, were you about to send me on a wild goose chase? You know I don't have access to the internet.
Yeah, her whole menu's on the website. I mean, the website's a little old and tacky, but I mean, it's there if you want it.
This must have been some sort of practical joke they were attempting to play on me.
I love that Cyril is just rolling with this. so much. I'm going to be honest, I don't go to the website that often. I don't go to the brick and mortar location that often, so I'm definitely not visiting the site too much. I guess
if you want my personal opinion about it, it's not that good. I've had better.
It feels like home, you know.
I feel you.
Reminds me of my grandma's, I guess.
All right. And with that, he goes.
I so desperately want to roll a human on these two fuckers right now.
Roll.
First off, is Cyril suspicious? Which I think the answer is probably yes.
Yes.
But secondly, you know, does he want to sort of like tease out any of this? You know, so that's up to you.
Yeah.
I say you should make a roll, and then whether you act on the results of that roll is entirely up to you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here we go. Oh, I fumbled. 99.
Yes.
Yes.
Funniest possible result.
Yeah. That's really funny. Well, I can get you some of a peach. What was it? Cobbler you wanted? Peach muffins?
Peach cobbler. Cobbler.
Definitely the cobbler that you were asking about.
I can get that for you. I mean, I'll bring some out to you if you want, Glumas. She's always baking shit.
It's quite good.
Church kitchen is always hot.
Yes, I wouldn't. You know, I can't just go ask her for some of her bacon, and she keeps such good track that I can't sneak a little hand pie for myself.
Well, she makes terrible bacon.
No, bacon. Babe.
Oh. Listen,
I understand. But also me, Dan, the keeper, the handler, he's a little stuffy, so it's even more difficult to say bacon.
Bacon, yeah.
God's got a bit of a nasal congestion going on.
God's all stuffed up today.
Oh, well, anyway, I'm going to go mess with your sister's brain. No, not really.
Don't say it like that.
Just going to go real quick, like, and then y'all should probably get her out as well.
Yeah.
Maybe don't let her talk too much about... again, she was in a chest, you said?
Yeah, there's a chest in the top of the tower.
Interesting.
There was a lot of stuff in there, but it seems gone. That was where the seal was, and inside of the chest, under the chest, there was...
Do you mention that you like went somewhere else?
Yeah, just like there was black and just inky void, and Marcy saw a map in a pentagon or a pentagram.
Sorry, what was this? You saw inky blackness and a map?
What? Marcy is just staring at Joel like, come on, man. Come on.
Listen, Marcy, Glomus is the best thing we have to keep this city safe, our home safe. And I think if there's some weird shit up there, he needs to know about it in case it fucks with what he's trying to do.
Fine. Okay. It was a yellow circle with two smaller circles inside of it, with lines connecting the inmost circle to the middlemost circle, with a strange star shape inside of it, with some lines going through connecting the disjointed star to the other circles, and there's a smaller circle inside the star that looks weird. And she'll, like, get a piece of paper and draw a very loose depiction of it.
So you actually got a crit when you rolled on this. So your loose depiction is actually pretty good.
No, she's trying to make it loose.
Oh, okay. You're purposely making it bad. Okay, yeah, yes. It's fine.
She does not trust Columbus.
Yeah, he looks at him and he says, "Okay, it seems like this is a okay. This would be a warden seal. Okay, all right, looking." He's like, yeah, this has all the basic functions. Obviously, you know, I'd need to examine it in detail to understand some of the caveats and other sort of tweaks that this Colette had done to set up this ward on the home. But it makes sense. But I don't. The part that does make sense. You said this was, you know, you were in some infinite blackness. Something about that seems familiar, but I don't know. It's just, can't quite put my finger on it.
Did it feel like when we cross over into Golomus's little hotspot?
No, not like that. It just was like an immediate transition into a different. Like there was the blinding white light, I think, when you got in there, and then when you got out. And both times it didn't feel like you moved. It just was like everything was replaced.
Oh.
It says, okay, now for real, I'm going to go revamp her memories real quick. Runs upstairs and does that, and then sort of hides around the corner waiting for y'all to take her out.
After we get the go-ahead, Joel will go up and be like, hey, you feeling good to leave now, Clem? I think it's time that we get you home.
Yeah. I think that would be good.
Would you mind if I drove you home so that we can make sure that you don't hurt yourself trying to drive home? You're looking a mighty bit parched there. We can stop at a gas station and get you something to drink.
That would be lovely. I am thirsty. I told you I got possessed, right?
Yeah, we
it was like there was
there for it.
There were other people in my brain.
Yeah, how do you remember who they were?
It was like one was like a little girl, and then one was sort of like a I don't know, just a woman like my age.
Yeah, I'm sure we get you some Gatorade and you'll be back right as rain.
Okay, all right. That'll be nice. Rehydrate.
Hydrate or dihydrate.
Yeah, and then I was stuck in the box. That was strange. She's like, is following you. I assume y'all make your way out the door.
Yeah, Joel has his arm around her, just like, yeah, you were in a box for a little bit there, but we got you.
Okay, all right.
Does she remember talking to Luna?
Do you ask her more about that?
Yeah. Hey, Clementine, do you remember talking to one of your fellow members of the coven, Luna?
Luna, yeah, I do, you know Luna, yeah, yeah, she's a friend from coven. I mean, they call it a coven. It's like a book club. We go and read like some of these, you know, self-empowerment sort of small business. Yeah, she, I feel like she spoke to me. It was like a phone call, but I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That's good to know.
Yeah, that was.
Well, I hope you get better here, Clem. We sure have missed you around here.
Oh, thanks. I've missed. How long was I gone?
Well, it's been 20 years. Tonight's the anniversary.
Oh, no. Oh my god!
You haven't aged a day.
We were all in the box.
We're all ghoul.
You were there? You were there?
It's only been a couple of days, honestly.
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
Just so you know, your job thinks that we had a bit of a family emergency back in New Orleans, and that's why you were gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, almost forgot about my job. Wow. Well, yeah. That's thanks for covering.
Only we were all so lucky, am I right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've been meaning to talk to you. I mean, I could probably find you a job at the paper if you wanted to get away from, you know, your mechanic stuff. But we'll talk about that more later. Let's. I need a drink.
Yeah, let's get you something to drink and get you a bite to eat on the way home.
Okay. As everyone steps outside the manor, you are immediately greeted by all of your phones buzzing and going off, and it's like you were in a place where you had no signal, and then you came back to a place where you did have signal, and it's like everyone, you know, was texting you about some like major event or, you know, asking if you're okay, that sort of thing. But all of your phones start buzzing. I don't know if anyone left them on, you know, ringtones, but those would go off too.
Yeah. Joel looks at the other two, gives it a second, slowly reaches into his phone.
Yeah, I think we all check our phone. At least Cyril does for sure.
Okay. I don't know. None of you are actively receiving calls. This is mostly like notifications of voicemails and then a bunch of texts. And as you're all reading your texts, they say something to the effect of like, I can't believe you guys found that footage. Like, how did you do that? Is that CGI? But like all these texts coming in and being like, it was on the news. It was on the news in New York City. It was on the news in New Orleans. It was on the news in LA. Like, this footage is everywhere. It's like the most viral clip ever. I can't believe it. And you're getting like YouTube videos of people doing like meme remixes. You're doing like all of these things that are all from the footage that you had watched. I believe it was Saturday night when you were in the ER before you all had your, you know, dreams.
Oh my God.
Because that was some footage that Joel and Clementine had looked at in the offices of the newspaper, and she had sent to one of her contacts. And you find out that apparently in the time that you were in the manor today, that had begun to be broadcast on national TV. You pick up on the story that apparently, you know, it was broadcast this clip, and then it immediately began to go viral and is become a sensation, and you are getting messages and texts and requests for interviews, people asking for the address of Florizon Manor, where this was rumored to have been filmed.
Oh no!
Of messages and voicemails. Yeah. And texts from people, friends, family. That one guy who you still have as a contact in your phone because you met him one time on Craigslist to sell him a couch. He is messaging you. Because everyone remembers meeting the Phantom Finders.
Interesting. Well, our job just got a lot harder, it looks like.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Is Ivy messaging him with that? Is she messaging Joel?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know what? Tyler, why don't you roll luck for me?
I'm not good with those anymore.
I know. This is, it's a consequence of having spent so much luck to pass on that. But I want to see how this goes.
A critical fumble.
Damn.
Oh, man. With that, you open your phone and you have like 50 messages from Kieran. And they're like, hey, man, I think we might be running out of mayonnaise. Can you make sure to buy some? And then there's like three more that are just like mayonnaise question mark. And then one that's like, I've been meaning to try Duke's lately. I hear that's good. And then like three that are like no, Hellman's, let's stick with Hellman's, you know, what we good. And then like three that are like maybe I'm a Miracle Whip guy, I don't know, should I try Miracle Whip?
Oh my god, I am blocking his number at that one.
if one of our characters dies, somebody has to play Kieran.
Yes, Kieran. Sorry, Kieran. Kieran was on my brain, but the Kieran.
I think, okay, so me as Tyler, I'm offended by the Miracle Whip comment, but does Joel, how does he take this? I think internally he is bummed that Ivy is not sharing in this with him, especially since I can imagine a couple of the other bandmates that he used to be, he still talks to, but he's not like good friends with him or anything. He probably gets messages from them, so he feels a little bummed out that she isn't messaging him.
Yeah, but I think maybe it's doubly bad because she was probably fairly supportive of this endeavor back in the day.
Hey, that happens though when you are kind of a dickhead like Joel tends to be. But I think Joel, this is just going to his head, and that he is just excited that it has gotten so big so quick. I don't think he has any idea of what the repercussions of how this will become harder for him keeping Glomis secret. But he is beaming because he's famous.
Oh, good. I like that you are. I like that Joel feels, you know, famous.
Joel likes that he feels famous.
That's not a good thing. You, when your handler chuckles and goes, I like that you feel that way.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm going to regret saying that statement, but...
You, Joel, Cyril, Clementine, or Joel, Cyril, Marcy, you all find yourself also in a group text with Detective Marr, where he is messaging you, and he's saying, WTF, ? Why didn't you tell me about ghost footage? When was this filmed? You guys actually saw a ghost? I didn't believe you, but, you know, I was trying to be nice about it.
I'm going to text him back and be like, we 100% told you about ghost footage.
He said, yeah, but I thought it was
You knew we were filming in the building.
Yeah, but I think we were doing? And he's like, you guys can tell me, though. Is it CGI?
Fuck no.
No.
It's not CGI. We told you. You were in that goddamn building. You tell me if it was CGI or not.
He texts back. He's like, I didn't. I saw the ghoul, not the little girl.
You saw my sister pop into smoke.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
He's like, yeah, that wasn't on film.
This is the dumbest sentence I've ever read. And he reacts to, like, he holds the icon of the text and then puts the laughing, like, crying laughing emoji at that sentence.
God.
He's like, what are you saying? Like, listen, it's reasonable for me not to have believed that, right? I'm not the crazy one.
I mean, to be fair, like, you saw a ghoul, you met a ghoul, and you watched a person disappear because we put salt around it. And you thought it was a stretch to believe that the place was actually fucking haunted?
He texts back and he says, so do you guys now believe in, like, Sasquatch and Loch Ness and aliens and all that?
Never didn't.
100%.
He says, okay, I learned a lot about y'all today. This is why we haven't been friends before, but okay. All right, well, like, the bubble keeps popping back up, and then no message comes.
No message popped up.
Yeah. No message comes. Boop, boop, boop.
Joel feels like he's won.
And then finally a message comes and he says, Chelsea was released on
good.
He says, still not sure.
She could have killed him.
Still not sure what happened. And then he says, by the way, did you talk to Glomis?
Yeah.
You just thought yes. Yeah. And then he's just a series of question marks. Updates.
And then I reply back with just a K.
Oh my god, what are you
doing? And the bubble pops up and then goes away, and then pops up and goes away, and then pops up again.
Joel will actually answer him.
I told y'all I don't like cops. I mean, fuck.
ACAB.
Yes, we have. We've dealt with the manor. It is no longer haunted. We have spoke with Glomis. There's been an extra complication, and he'll leave it there.
He thumbs up, reacts to that message. and then does not respond after that. But all right, what do y'all want to do next?
I never thought describing text messages would be so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's only because I've been in real group messages like that, where someone does not know the etiquette. 100%.
And I've been both people in that situation.
Clementine, I assume, you know, I'll even allow you to, well, no, because you'd have to be driving, but y'all can depart from the manor if you would like, or how are y'all splitting up? Because as far as I'm concerned, this starts, we are kicking off the next downtime, and so I would like to sort of get a survey of everybody what you want to do next. So this is Tuesday night, so, you know, The footage went out tonight. The point is, while you were up there, you spent a couple hours sort of searching the place, and then who knows how long you were actually in. But when you get in the car, it's like 9:30 at night. I think that's probably reasonable.
Damn.
So 9:30, it's nice and dark outside. Y'all can make your way away from Florizon Manor.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Marcy just goes home. Doesn't even like just. I'm going to self-isolate for 24 hours, and then I'm going to come back as a refreshed person. See you on the flip side. And just throws the peace sign and gets in the vehicle with Joel, and then just waits. Joel wants her ride there.
Yeah, he'll look at her and be like, "No, you're backseat now."
Understandable. It doesn't even get out of the car, just crawls over the console.
Don't put your feet in the...
He's got such a shitty car for transporting people. It's hilarious.
That was part of the gag.
People's cramming into this Nissan over and over
just
again.
Just a sports car.
Yeah.
Mark, what is... So, as Cyril, I assume he heads home.
No, you'd be wrong.
No? All right. That's why I said I assume.
I think that he watches Cyril and, or not Cyril, but Joel and Marcy and Clementine drive down the, I'm assuming, long dusty driveway.
Yeah.
And him and Glomus are just standing there. And
no, he was back in the house because he didn't want Clementine to see him.
Oh, okay. I will call out to Glomus. Hey, Glomus. You in there still?
Yes. How many?
Can you come outside?
Sure. And he opens the door, makes his way out.
Clementine catches him in the rearview mirror and is like, what the heck? No.
Yeah, the coast is clear. There's nobody out here.
Cyril's boyfriend. Adjust the mirror.
I got a couple of questions for you. One of them is going to be a bit on the nose. The other one's going to be a little bit more esoteric in nature.
Okay, yeah. Shoot.
So my first question is, and he pulls out the organite. And he says, this is where Marguerite is. At least that's what I'm assuming.
His eyes go wide and he says, that was unexpected. Huh.
Yeah, I had this pressed against her. And then I took my gun and I shot her in the head. And it crystallized and filled the matrix inside of this organite.
Yes. Was there a question in there?
I just wonder if you know anything about it, and if there's anything I can do. Like, is it safe to have? Like, can I put it on my mantle? Like, I don't know. I'm just curious if you've ever encountered anything like this.
You know, Cyril, I explained to you that you are in a very exclusive club of people, not only to have seen ghosts, but also to have exercised them. But you might be in a rarer group of people. You may have... Not just exercise, you may have trapped this ghost. Did you... Y'all find out that this was some sort of poltergeist, right? This was not a actual spirit of a child, right?
Yeah, we had heard... I mean, we had gotten wind of that from various people. I think Luna basically told us that that's what it was. That's what we were dealing with.
I can't remember if you explained that to me or not, but I'm going to assume you have. But, well, this might be... Well, you may have... damage this poltergeist. You know, I'm not extremely familiar with ghosts and,
apparition such as a sword. He says, do you mind if I just hold it for a second? I have some ability to ascertain.
Oh, God.
Be my guest. And he kind of trepidatiously hands it over to him. Kind of like doesn't really want to, but kind of needs the answers.
Yeah. He holds it in his hand and he kind of peers into it. And he just puts his finger against one of the pyramidal faces and just like tries to, you see it like almost like it pushes back just a little bit of the sort of white, you know, coloration of this rosin. And then he pulls his finger away and it just sort of comes back. And he's like, you may have essentially trapped this poltergeist in here. This is quite interesting energy. You said this was organite? I don't know too much about that. But it appears that it's almost some sort of like energy funnel. And this is something keeping her in here. It's possible that it's a bit of a one-way valve go in, but it doesn't appear that. I mean, I don't see any, I don't feel any mechanism of unlocking or releasing. I mean, that may be possible, but this is very different from anything that I've ever run across. But I suspect, he says, there's some residual energy here, and it's a bit difficult to tell if that's the nature of the organite itself, or if it's some sort of residual from Marguerite.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was just, it just so happened, I thought maybe instead of exercising her, capturing her might be a little easier, and apparently it was. I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't like a means of escape for her or anything like that.
Well, I can't say with definitive certainty that she can't escape this, but just based off my magical knowledge, typically when you trap things, they are not free to then leave.
Okay. Alright.
Now, as to keeping it on your mantle, I can't advise that, but I can't say that it would be any worse than keeping a family picture.
So, I think he takes the organite back and stows it away in his like suit coat pocket, because he is fully still suited up. And he kind of turns to Glomus and he's just like, well, my last question for you tonight before I take off here and get some much needed rest is, I've been thinking about you and what your kind do for this town. And I'm just wondering, where do y'all get your bodies?
Well, Cyril, we've discussed some of the more uncomfortable aspects of the ghoul culture, but typically we get them from cemeteries. I try not to desecrate any recent graves, but after they've laid in there for some time, there are ghouls who feast on those bodies. And again, you understand that if I ever become truly injured, the only way that I could actually recover would be to ingest bodies. Now, I've got a few things that would assist with that, but the average ghoul, one who is not so involved in the magic arts as I am, would need to consume a body. And so typically we stick to the cemetery. In fact, that's most ghouls that I know traffic in around cemeteries, because I'll be honest, and I hope this isn't too macabre, but once the body's in the ground, what difference does it make if the body's still there, as long as you have, you know, the headstone and the belief that it's there?
That's very true.
Well, it may be true, or it may be just the way that I've rationalized it, but it's not something I want to confront too heavily.
All right, well, that's just been pressing on me. I was just curious as to where you get them from. I didn't know if you had like the coroner was one of y'all or something along those lines, but I was just curious about it, and I didn't want it to be too nefarious, I suppose. I'm just gonna be honest with you, Glomus, I'm having a hard time with all this, just trusting people. I'm not used to that kind of life. So especially trusting somebody who's eating dead things. That's a little bit of a stretch. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't you were robbing the morgue or taking, you know, bodies from a hospital or something like that.
No, no. No. There are some ghouls in the world who I'm sure are less scrupulous about how they source their bodies, but for the most part, you know, ghouls are not uncivilized creatures. We're not feral by nature. But it's interesting to me that given your background in history, you have difficulty trusting. At least I would have assumed that working in the military as you did, you would have had to trust and rely on people plenty.
Yeah. Those same people can let you down, though. Those same people that you out on patrol with can let you down. They don't... I mean, I trust a lot of my unit still, but some of them I wouldn't trust with my... with a penny to, you know, give on Sunday. They fucking suck. Sometimes when you do things in the military and you try to help people and you try to tell people the truth, well, they don't want to hear it. They want to hear only the good stuff. They don't want to hear about what's really going on. So, real give or take there. Plus, most of my unit, they're all spread out throughout the country, so I don't ever talk to them anymore. But I can trust my Phantom Finders. You know, Joel and Marcy and Clementine, they've been nothing but kind. I don't know. Trust is hard to come by.
Well, I understand that. Yeah, that's why I magically compelled you to not reveal my secrets. So I suppose I'm one to be talking about trust. But
all right, well, I will go home and I will do my usual stuff. And I guess I'll be hopefully out here first thing as soon as I can. I don't know what the state of affairs is going to be like in Care 4, but I'll do my best to get out there. Out here to at least protect you at the beginning. Help you move shit and things.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you, thank you. I'll get started on that tonight and at least maybe prep an area down to the basement in which to begin. So.
Yep. And Cyril walks over and gets in his GMC Cyclone and drives off.
What is there anything that Joel, Marcy, Clementine want to talk about on the drive home? Anything you want to rehash or talk about?
I think Joel is psyched about the traction the video has already gotten, and he is like, who did you send that to?
Oh, I sent it to this one of the news desk anchors over in New Orleans. I just emailed him and was like, hey, is this anything? It's real footage, you know, obviously. And I don't have my phone. And she checks her pockets. Oh, I do have my phone. Battery's dead. I don't know, you know, what his response was, but apparently he, you know, took it and ran with it.
That's fucking crazy. What a psychopath. Just a random person comes out and messages them, hey, I found ghosts, and they just agree?
I know that he's one of my friends. Like, you know,
we've
got a little...
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm not going to say that we're, you know, serious, but it's a little, you know, it could be.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's... Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good on you, good on you, Clementine. Marcy, good on you for everything you've done for this team. Both... behind and in front of the camera and all of our extracurriculars from the last few days. Really appreciate it.
Who do I talk to about getting a raise?
We don't get paid.
I know, I just wanted to say that. We don't get hazard pay, and I think we need to discuss hazard pay.
Well, I imagine the mayor's going to... Well, once we get this episode out, the mayor's going to hopefully be pretty grateful, so... I don't know how much compensation. Well, actually, I would have to go check the thing for what we signed, but that's why he contacted y'all. So I'm sure he'll be happy to, you know, fund further expeditions if he's going to turn this thing into, you know, his own money-making business.
Maybe.
Maybe he can run a haunted Airbnb.
Yeah.
Although, how does that work now that you exorcise the ghosts and there's no actual...
As she's kind of going on, Joel's eyes get wide and he looks up in the mirror at Marcy, eyes wide. He's finally had the dawning realization that people are going to want to come here now. He's like, oh, but he's trying to keep it cool so Clementine doesn't notice.
Marcy in her chest can just feel her heart start to like accelerate and pump wildly and just like, no, 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 like internally.
I think with that, Joel kind of tapers off that part of the conversation, and I picture him driving Marcy home first, and afterwards asking Clementine, you know, where does she want to go? Like, if you want actual food, I'd be more than happy to buy. It's my treat. But first he would take Marcy home so she can start her isolation. So if Marcy wants to say anything else, go for it.
Clem, don't go into haunted houses.
You know, Marcy, I think I might be transferring all of my Phantom Finder responsibilities to one of y'all.
So you're retiring?
Yeah, I think I might be.
That's nice.
Probably for the best after what you went through.
Yeah,
not even gonna lie. Yeah, you deserve it. Yeah.
Thanks. I think once you get possessed and locked in some weird other dimension, you've kind of, you know, done it all. There's not much more than that.
Are we calling that ghost snapped?
Ghost snapped? Sure.
I like that name.
I'm gonna go pass out. Bye bye. And she'll just open her door, go inside, fall face first onto her couch, and scream into a pillow.
Joel has to get out, move the car seat up so you can get in, get out, and he gets back in his car. Just call me if you need anything. The door slams.
Well, okay, all right. Do you mind taking me home? I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, we can totally do that. There's just something I want to talk with you about for a second, Clementine.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I want to preface this with, I am so grateful to have my sister back, and I was worried sick left, right, up, down, and center that we weren't going to get you back, but I don't know how to say this other than I think you owe me a little bit here, there, baby sister.
Sorry, I mean, for rescuing me?
Yeah, in a sense. I'm not asking, like, you to pay me or anything, and I'm not asking for anything, like, now, by any means, but, Clem, I'm going to be honest with you. I know that to you it's a bit of a book club, but to the other members of that book club, it's considerably more.
I think you've been drinking Luna's Kool-Aid. Although, perhaps there is something more to that.
You did talk with her, after all.
Yeah.
And she did give us everything we needed to get you out.
So, I'm a little less in your debt and a little more in hers, you're saying?
She wasn't the one who did it, though.
Okay, well, alright, well.
And, listen, all I'm asking is, I want your help with something.
Sure. What do you need?
I think that if the Phantom Finder is going to become a household name across the country, and if there's going to be more places like Florizon, I think it might be helpful to know a few of those tricks that the ladies in that book club know.
So, after I just retired, you want to hire me back on as a consultant? Is that what I'm...
No, 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 no. I'm asking you to stick your neck out and see if you, with my assistance, can talk them into teaching me a thing or two.
Oh. Well, Joel, that'll be interesting, but I'll see what I can do.
And I'm not asking to become a full-fledged member. I'm not... listen, you know me, I don't even go to church on Sundays. I can't commit to a book club or anything like that, but just something to keep me in mind
safe while we're in there, is all I'm asking.
I understand. I will see what I can do.
I appreciate it, Clementine. And I think it'll be of a much larger benefit than either of us can imagine.
Yeah, I suppose you'd have to be right.
Thanks. Listen, I get tomorrow. I can come by, pick you up on my lunch, and we can go get your car.
Okay.
Back at the manor. And, just give me a call if you need anything, and just keep your head low for a day or two.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you. And she heads in, and you see her shut the door. You know, wave, shut the door behind her, and you can head home. The last thing that happens.
He does not head home.
Oh, he doesn't. Where does he go?
He will go to the Pickle Palace, and he will get tore down one more night before having a normal week.
All right. All right. We'll keep that in mind for any roles that might have to happen next time. We're actually going to jump to the parking lot of the Carrefour Oasis Mall. It's about 10:30 at night. Most of the lights have started to go off. Everything's sort of dimly lit. The mall has closed, been closed now for half an hour, so most of the cars are out. There's still a handful of cars from people who are, you know, taking out the trash and doing all the custodial duties. And there's one of those little, like, security cars that's just, like, sitting there with its blinking lights. But in a far...
Fresh tracks from drifting the night before.
In a far corner, in a place where none of the lights are... we barely see a Jeep lifted and pink. And through the front window of this Jeep, we see a man. He's, even though he's sitting, he's got a pretty, you know, pretty good posture. He looks pretty tall. He's fairly lean. He's got pastel looking button down shirt with a like sports coat over it. And he is on a BlackBerry phone, and every once in a while he just, you know, appears to mouth like, okay, yes, yes, that sort of thing. And we see him for a couple minutes talking on this phone. Obviously, we don't hear the other side of the conversation. We don't even really hear him. But after a few minutes, the phone call appears to end. He holds the BlackBerry in front of his face and he sets it down, and then you see his eyes narrow and his grip tightens on the steering wheel, and then he begins to slam his fist down on the steering wheel over and over while screaming. And that's where we're going to end for right now.
Holy shit.
Oh god,
love that for us.
It's good times.
Thanks for tuning in once again to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1 City of Woe. This has been the end of the Marguerite arc. Join us next time. Actually, next time we're going to have a little talkback episode. So just a chance for the players to talk with me and get a little idea of, you know, how things went, what we want to see in the future, any lingering questions that can be, you know, answered without spoiling too much. Thanks again to Ponzer Kings for letting us use Cositus for this music. I really, really enjoy this music. And go check out all the other music. It's all really, really good. Very, very much in the vibe that I was looking for. And thanks to Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. Make sure you go like and review us on iTunes and share that with us. Check out the links in the show notes. Send us an email. Let us know. You can add an NPC in Carrefour and be part of the story. Enjoy your week. We'll see you next time.
Me and my friends in Warhammer have a thing where we say the dice already follow the narrative. So if you forget to roll the armor save and that model's still there, doesn't matter. The dice already decided before you rolled, baby.
Yeah.
Ciro bringing a lady home. Oh, what's this? Oh, well, you know, my ghost. You know what that is. Trapped.
The ghost of a dead kid.
Shot a kid. So, Oyo.